this morning is truly drinking from the well, the water that will never run dry and will show the world as you drink from that well. Welcome again to our time of sharing the word here this morning, and you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 27, Matthew 16, 21 to 27, and we'll take a look at the scriptures here and see what God has for us. And recognizing again this morning that it is only by the Spirit of God speaking into your spirit that the Word of God is received in a proper way. I can speak until I'm blue in the face, but if the Spirit of God speaks to you, if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it will get there, okay? So just pause for a moment and invite the Holy Spirit to interpret the Word into your heart. That as the words leave my mouth, they will come to your ear undefiled and made to what the Spirit. You know, I thought about this week as we saw the results of the wind again, and the trees toppled over and those kind of things. You know, we don't see the Holy Spirit, but we do see what it does. Amen? Amen. So let's pause and ask God to meet us here this morning with the Word. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness, for your holiness. Lord, we lift you up. You alone are worthy of praise. And Lord, I realize again this morning that when we drink from the well, that you will fill that thirst and that we will be full. So God, as this word, as the word that you have written is shared here this morning, Father, I pray that you would protect it. I pray that you would take the place of honor and that you would move among us here, Lord, and minister to each spirit whatever is in need of here this morning. So God, we give this time to you, give the word to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 16, verse 21 says this, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you.' And this is what Jesus did. He turned to Peter and he said, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" And verse 24, "Then Jesus said to the disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." You see, I was looking at verse 24, and it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples," and it intrigued me a little bit. Why did he say, "Then he said to his disciples"? So I looked at the previous verses, and all of a sudden it jumped out at me that what Jesus had come for, Jesus had come to die and go to the cross, be crucified, be raised again, that we might have eternal life. Amen? That's how we have eternal life. Jesus came, he died for your sin and my sin. He went to the cross, he was crucified. I guess that was first, and then he died. But then he was raised from the dead and gave us new life through the Holy Spirit within us. That was the work that Jesus came to do. And he wasn't losing sight of what he was called to do. He wasn't losing sight of what the Father's plan was for him. But in order to do that, he had to let go of control. Because the Bible says that he could have called 10,000 angels to come and pull the nails out of his hands and remove him from the cross. He could have done that. But in order to fulfill the plan of the Father, he had to let go of control. And I titled the message this morning, "Letting Go Control." I was sitting at the intersection in Blue Ball, and many of you are familiar with the intersection there. I was sitting on Route 322 going east, so it's a little bit downhill, and Route 23 comes in at a little bit of an angle downhill. And I was sitting there waiting for the light to change as the traffic was going on Route 23. And to my astonishment, I didn't see what happened. But here comes a motorcycle sliding through the intersection. And I looked, and here's a man and a woman laying on the road, and this motorcycle sliding down through the intersection. And then, to my astonishment, the man jumped up and ran after the motorcycle while the woman laid on the road. And it occurred to me, you know, it is what is in our hearts. It is what we are holding on to. It is the thing that is most important to us that we will go after when we lose control. When things start to fold around us, when we start to lose control, it is that thing of value that we will go after. And I asked this morning, is there people laying on the road that need to be picked up while we are out of control going after the material things that we might be losing? Is there someone laying on the road that needs to know Jesus, but we are so preoccupied with holding on to our freedom, holding on to what is ours, holding on to what is right, that we miss that person that needs to know Jesus? That's the question that burned in my heart as I read this. And I looked at this scripture again, and it says, from that time, Jesus began to show the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside. Here comes Peter. This can't be Jesus. This is not the way it's supposed to work. Peter steps into the political scene and he says, this is not the way it's supposed to work. You're not supposed to die. You are supposed to be our king. You are supposed to relieve us from Roman rule. That's the thought behind it. No, Jesus, this isn't going to happen. And Jesus said to him, he turned to Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. Why? For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Are you going to help that person that's laying on the road? Are you going to go after the motorcycle that's getting away from you? Are you mindful of the things of God, or have the things of this life right now taken control, and the need to let go? The need to let go is huge. And there are many things in life that we feel a need to control. There are many things that we feel like we have to have in control: our finances, our health, our safety, our freedom, our children, our parents. You name it. You put it there. You put there what it is that you feel that if this were out of your control, it would be a mess. So we take on things that God wants us to release and let him be in control of. And the biggest problem, I believe, one of the major problems with following and pleasing the Lord is our flesh. One of the major problems, let me say it again, with following and pleasing the Lord is our flesh. Our flesh gets in the way. And that's exactly what I think I saw with the motorcycle. Was he needed to run after his motorcycle and get it set up, and the woman's laying there on the road. I think she was all right then. Some road rash, some stuff like that. But my point being, when things go out of control, what do you go after? What do you go after? Some of you know that I spent 8 years in excavating, and I was moving a track loader, 21-ton track loader on the low boy, and I loaded up out of E-Town, and I started off, and I pulled out of the work site there onto a road that went downhill, and down the bottom was a turn, and it was raining. It was wet that day, and I pulled out onto the road, and I started down the hill, and I tapped the brakes a little bit, and the road was icy. Now, the tractor started to go into the jackknife position, you know, and my instinct, everything within me wanted to push on the brakes harder. But I didn't. My mind overcame my my body, and I left off the brakes, and I was able to get it over on the side of the road where there were some stones, and was able to straighten it out again, and was able to get slowed down before I got to the turn. But it just occurred to me again, you know, there's so much. Our flesh wants to respond. Our flesh wants to respond. And when our minds and our hearts are not fixed on Jesus Christ, then our flesh will respond. Then our flesh will respond. And then he goes on in the next verses. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires, is anyone desires, and I know that is every one of us in this room this morning, that we desire to come after Jesus. And he says, what do we have to do to come after him? And I wasn't aware that the Sunday school, the memory verse was this very scripture this morning, but interesting. If anyone desires to come after me, let him, what? Deny himself. Deny himself. Let go of control. Deny himself. You cannot follow Jesus until you deny yourself. And the only way to deny self is to be fixed and rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, in him alone. Does your song point to Jesus? Does your message point to Jesus? Does your life point to Jesus? Or is it about what I'm doing? Is it showing, is it, this is what I'm doing for the kingdom of God? Or does it continually point people to Jesus this morning? Is your life pointing people to Jesus? As I said last weekend, we have been taught to fish and taught to fish and taught to fish. It is time to fish. You know where my mind is. What was this bumper sticker that somebody sent to me yesterday? I was born to fish and forced to work. Something like that. Why aren't we fishing? Are we going after the motorcycle that's slipping away? Has it caused an anxiety within us that our freedom might be slipping away? Has it caused an anxiety within us that there is a possibility of losing our possessions if our economy crashes? Is the motorcycle sliding away and we're missing the person that is laying on the road? He says, if anyone desires to come after me, he let him deny himself. And then what? Take up his cross. Take up his cross. I'm asking you this morning, what about taking up a cross sounds comfortable to you? What about taking up a cross sounds good and comfortable and no problems? There is nothing about a cross that is comfortable. There is nothing about a cross that is cushy. We have had it good. Denying himself and taking up his cross and following me. The word denying, it carries with it the whole disown, forsake, reject, restrain ourselves. Basically doing without the desires of the flesh. Basically doing without the desires of the flesh. We must be willing to subdue our flesh in an effort to follow and please the Lord. We must be willing to subdue the flesh in order to follow and be pleasing to the Lord. It is necessary. And it's not easy to let go of stuff. You know, we're all here, and we all have those things that we should have let go of a long time ago. Maybe it's a sweatshirt. Maybe it's a pair of shoes that you just fit you, you know. They feel right on you. The sweatshirt, it can be torn. It can have holes in it and whatnot, but it fits. It's right. It's the thing for you, and you buy a new one, and you hang it beside, and you still wear the old one. You know, we don't let go of things very easy. I believe it's difficult for us to do that. I've tried reading a book and listening to Karen or talking to I've tried reading a book and talking to Karen at the same time. Doesn't work. Nope. Does not work. See, there's a distraction. I have to stop what I'm doing and I have to talk to Karen or else read a book. I can't do both. I you know, some of you can chew bubble gum and walk at the same time. I'm not sure I can. But there's giving up the distraction. You have to give up the distractions if you're going to focus on what is most important in life. We have to give up the distractions, denying ourselves. We don't let go of bitterness very easy, do we? We don't let go of bitterness very easy because we kind of hold on to it. We want to hold on to it because in a way, we're in control as long as we're holding on. See, when we let go of bitterness, when we let go of it, we feel like we have lost control. We feel like if we carry this bitterness, we're controlling someone. We're making them feel bad. No, you're not. You're making you feel bad. So another thing is bitterness. We don't let go of it very easy, but we need to let go of control and offer forgiveness. Offer forgiveness. When you offer forgiveness, you let go of control. You see what I'm saying? It's important, too, that we understand God's economy. In verse 25, it says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." How contrary is that to our culture? How contrary is that to our economy? Let me read it again. "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it." And when have you last been told that? When you let go of something or you release something. Okay, so someone's in need and you have some finances to be able to help them. And you are able to do that. You know, the world would say, pay off your bills first. Take care of yourself. Buy what you need first. The Bible says, let go. "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." It's backwards, isn't it? No, that's the kingdom of God. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. That is the kingdom of God. Let go. Those who are willing to let go of what they find valuable will gain much. Will gain much. We have the story of Mary and the angel coming and telling Mary that she was going to have a baby. And I find it interesting, her response. And I think this seems to be somewhere we find ourselves in the whole letting go of control. Because I'm sure that it wasn't working out the way Mary wanted it to. And it says that she was perplexed in her spirit. And the angel came and told her that she was going to have a baby. And then she goes in Luke chapter 1 verse 38. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let it be according to your word. And I ask, if that is your posture this morning, let it be according to your word, Lord. Let it be according to your word. Some of you here this morning may be confused about what's going on in your life. Why is this happening? I never thought I would experience this. Lord, I can't handle this. I don't know what to do. I want to take control. I need to figure this out. I need control. Is that where you find yourself at this morning? And the scripture says that if we want to follow him, we need to deny ourselves. And deny ourselves is letting go of control. Is letting go of control. So you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking, well, I'm not a controlling person. I'm not a controlling person, I'm just aggressively helpful. I'm not a controlling, I'm just thoroughly organized. But you know, I think it does us all good to stop once in a while and say, what is it that I am holding on to? What is it that I am in control of? That if I don't do it, it's not going to happen. And if I don't do it, it's not going to happen right. You think you're not in control? Ask your children. They know. We want to control what they look like, where they go, who they hang out with, what they do, where they go to college, and who they'll marry, and how many children they'll have. You know, I'd like to tell my children to, you know, come on, let's go. Let's have some more grandchildren, you know. But those are so cute. Anyway, that's up to them. I'm not controlling that. I'm just putting that out there for what it's worth. You know, I would like more, but that's, you know, it's for what it's worth. So I'm not controlling. How you dress. How are you going to take care of me when you're old? You want to control them, your children. You see? We're wearing out our spouses. We're wearing out our spouses. How you chew, how you dress, what you say, what you want, where you go, how you load the dishwasher, how you vacuum. We're wearing out our spouses, controlling. Are we guilty? That's up to you. We want to control what people think about us. Now, I find this amusing as I thought about this. We want to control what people think about us. Stop and think how much effort and energy you put into controlling what people think about you. You know, you get the family together and the dog, and you want to take a picture. And you go out in the yard, you get all set up, and after 37 tries, you're ready to give away the children and divorce your spouse. And finally, you get a good shot. You get a picture with the dog and the children, and everybody smiling, and you put it on Facebook, and you hashtag it blessed. You're so mad at each other, you can't even stand each other. But you got a picture, okay? You put it on Facebook. Looks good, right? So we're trying to control what people think of us. We're in control. We have to control what people think of us. The more you try to control, the more you fear losing control. The more you try to control, the more you fear losing control. May I suggest that you don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. Let me say that again. You don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. When you surrender what you're trying to control to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it makes all the difference in the world in how you're going to feel, how you're going to respond, how you're going to react when the motorcycle slides out from under you. If you're surrendered in your spirit, if you're surrendered in your heart. The more you try to control, the more you fear losing control. You see, Mary didn't know what the end of the story was. When she said those words, that whatever it be, she didn't know that her son was going to go be crucified, die, and be raised again for the sins of the world. She didn't know that. She didn't know that when she surrendered herself. And God might be asking you this morning to surrender, to deny yourself, to give up yourself, to take up your cross. Why? For the kingdom of God. Because so many times we only see in the eyes of men. As Jesus told Peter, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So many times we only see it through our human eyes. And it doesn't look right. It doesn't look like the rational thing to do, to surrender it to Jesus and let him do what he wants to do. Let God do what he wants to do with you. It don't make sense today, but tomorrow it might. But sometime it will. Maybe not in this lifetime, but sometime it will make sense. Mary didn't know, but she chose to follow God's calling in her life and to be in submission to that. I have something that Karen found, and it's source unknown, but it's titled Dying to Self, and I'm going to read this for what it's worth. It says this: when you are forgotten or neglected and you don't hurt with the insult, but your heart is happy, that is dying to self. When your advice is disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart and take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear disorder, irregularity, tardiness, and annoyance, and endure it as Jesus endured it, that is dying to self. when you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or record your own good works or itch for praise after an accomplishment, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother or sister prosper and can honestly rejoice with him, feel no envy, even though your needs are greater, that's dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any raiment, any climate, or any society, that is dying to self. When you take correction, when you can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, with no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. How do you come out of that test? Where does that test leave you? Are you dead to self? Are you dying to self? We have the account of Jesus in the garden. And again, Jesus says something similar to what Mary said in the garden when Jesus was being tested and when he prayed that the Father would take this away. If there's another way, then he says this. And again, a second time he went away in Matthew 26, 42. Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Your will be done." You cannot do that. You cannot do that until you let go control. You can't do it. The phrase is the same as what Mary said. Your will be done. They're both saying the same thing. Your will be done, Lord, not mine. It's not about me. You know, we sing this song, "Oh, it's not about me," as if you should do things my way. I think sometimes we could sing that the other way. Lord, it's not about you, as though I should do things your way. Playing on the words a little bit. It's a little bit where we come from sometimes. It's not about you, Lord, as though I should do things your way. I see clearly what I'm supposed to do. I see clearly, and it doesn't match up. What you're telling me to do doesn't match up with what I have reasoned within my mind. If there's a burden on your heart this morning, and I don't know what it might be, it could be anything. If there's a burden on your heart, have you denied yourself? Have you taken up the cross? Are you following him? Verse 26 says this, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If you are here and you're feeling unappreciated today and you're wondering what's going on, it might be a relationship. There might be the burden of relationship. It might be a burden of marriage. It could be that there's a child that you're aching for. It could be a bad diagnosis that you've been diagnosed with something bad. It could be that financial weight that's crushing you. It could be fear. It could be hurt or because of something that you've lost. It could be an addiction that you just can't seem to beat this morning. It's a weight, it's a burden that you're carrying. It could be guilt that you're carrying from something that you did a long time ago that you can't undo. And it could be COVID this morning, the weight, the burden that you're carrying with the possibilities of what could happen financially or socially or economically, whatever it might be. There's a burden you're carrying this morning. I am calling you to deny self, take up the cross and follow Jesus. And I know that those are easy words for me to say, much harder to do. I know that. But there is the burden that you're carrying does not need to be carried by you. There is a God who is in control. Amen. Say amen. There is a God that is in control of everything that is happening. And until I deny myself and let go of control, I cannot walk in the freedom and embrace that as long as I am trying to fix everything. You see what I'm saying? As long as I'm trying to do it, let God use you. Open your heart and your spirit and your mind to what God wants to do with you. Whatever it is, I want you to give it to God. Give the burden of what you're carrying to His control. To His control. Peter wrote this, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7, in closing. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because why? He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. Whatever the burden is, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't let this society, don't let this world, we are not of this kingdom. We are not of this kingdom. We are of the kingdom of God, and we have something to be excited about. Hallelujah. And the world can't take it away. There is no virus that can take it away. There is no government that can take it away from you. You are a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are a child of God. You are of the kingdom of God. Deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow Him. And don't forget the person that's laying on the road. Please. There are neighbors, there are friends, there are co-workers that are laying on the road that need you right now. They need you. They need you. Don't miss them. Don't miss them while you're going after what you might be losing. So my prayer for you, for my family, for Karen, for my children, is that we will be able to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. That we will be able to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. Only God's Spirit can move you to surrender. You don't have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. It's what God wants for us. It's what God wants for you and I. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a closing song. And if you feel you need to do business with God, you can come up to the altar here and as God leads you. So let's stand together for a prayer and the chorus will be ready to come and lead us in song. Father, we thank you this morning again for your goodness, Lord, for your holiness. Thank you, Father, for the promise of your word that if we deny ourselves, that there will come a time that you will reward each one according to our works. And Lord, I pray this morning that our hearts and our minds would be yielded to you. Father, in the places that we have taken control, the places that I have taken control, Lord, I want to release to you. God, I want your Spirit to be the Spirit that leads and guides and directs each of our hearts as we walk out of this building here this morning. That you would receive the honor, Lord, that you would receive the glory, Father. I pray that you would show us the person that is laying on the road that really needs you right now. And allow us, Lord, to leave go of the things that we are going after that are hindering us from seeing that person. So, Father, I release this congregation to you. Father, I'm so excited about the Spirit that I sense in the people that are fellowshipping together here this morning. And Father, I want you to minister to interact with in a special way with each one of us here today. And even to those that are listening. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified, that we would recognize again that your kingdom is so much greater and so different than the kingdom of this world that we live in. So, Father, we give ourselves to you. We yield this congregation, to this fellowship to you. And we look forward, Lord. We look forward to the day when we will stand with you in glory. And, Father, until that time, lead us on following you. In Jesus' name, amen.